Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Maria Garcia. The Boston Symphony Orchestra is up for two Grammy Awards Sunday for their record Shostakovich Symphonies Numbers 4 and 11. The album is the latest installment in conductor Andras Nelson's and the BSO's complete Shostakovich symphony cycle. Two of their recordings of symphonies by the Russian composer won Grammy Awards in 2016 and 2017. Dmitri Shostakovich was composing in the Soviet Union, where at first he was regarded as a great hope for communist art, until Joseph Stalin objected to one of his works. Shostakovich continued to compose under fear of his life. His music remained popular, and some critics say they hear in his work a critique of life under political oppression. Joining me now is Anne Schreffler. She's a historical musicologist and a professor of music at Harvard University. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So why do you think Shostakovich's music resonates today?
Shostakovich's music has always been very popular with its audiences. Soviet audiences lined up and awaited each premiere with bated breath, and there were long ovations after performances. And our audiences today are the same way. Shostakovich's music is very communicative. It has a visceral quality. It is expressive in a way that almost seems to be narrating to us. And that's what's really interesting about it, is that it is not just painting pretty pictures, but it has a visceral kind of expressivity that draws you into the music.
So BSO conductor Andras Nelsons grew up in Latvia under the rule of the Soviet Union, and he was a teenager when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991. As we know, many Latvians protested Soviet rule. Some were sent to Siberia. Nelsons has spoken of how his family was banned from attending church and growing up learning of Lenin as sort of a Jesus Christ type figure. Moving from, you know, the piece of art to how the piece of art is executed now, do you think Nelson's experience living under political oppression comes out in how he conducts these pieces of music?
Yes, absolutely. And I would have to be a psychologist to try to draw conclusions from his childhood experiences and his parents' political experiences and his conducting. But what I can say is that his musical training took place under Soviet-controlled Latvia. And so his teachers were all Russian trained. And then even after the Soviet Union dissolved in 1990, Andras Nelson studied in St. Petersburg. So he is really integrally a part of this musical Russian tradition, which is a grand tradition, you have to say. I mean, there have been just astoundingly great artists during the entire 19th and 20th centuries and even before, coming from Russia and then the Soviet Union and now Russia again. So they have a very wonderful, strong tradition of music, and particularly music pedagogy, music teaching, teaching conducting, composition. So it's a grand tradition. Nelson's is probably one of the youngest conductors who is still part of that tradition.
Well, we actually spoke with Andras Nelsons on the power of performing these symphonies today.
What we see is happening in the world, for me personally, it brings connections with, in this case, with Shostakovich and his world. I think the symphonies, I think when you hear them now, it literally makes you shiver very often, because you think, oh my God, we know it's composed 50 years or more ago, but it feels like it is about today as well.
So let's dig into the two symphonies up for Grammy nominations this weekend. The first is the Fourth Symphony, which we heard a bit of at the top. This piece was actually delayed a quarter century due to Soviet authoritarianism. Expand on that for us.
Yes, the Fourth Symphony is highly unusual among the 15 symphonies that Shostakovich wrote, because it is the only one that was not premiered immediately after its composition.
Right.
And the reason was that while this Fourth Symphony, it was almost finished, and I believe it was even in rehearsal, Shostakovich was censured by a review that came out in Pravda, the official communist newspaper. And the review was of another piece, was of Shostakovich's opera, Lady Macbeth of the Mesinsk District. Stalin had evidently gone to see the opera and had been shocked by the work's overt sexuality, violence, and loud dissonant music, in his opinion. So the next day, the Pravda ran an article called Muddle Instead of Music, and it castigated Shostakovich for writing music that catered to the depraved tastes of bourgeois audiences, as they put it, and it contained a warning. It was an anonymous review, and it said Shostakovich had better watch out for himself. Now, this opera had already been on the stage for 2 years. Right. It had been performed all over Russia, all over Europe, and even in the United States. And it had been a tremendous success. So by the time Stalin got around to seeing it, it was already internationally known. So it's a bit strange. The timing of this review was a bit strange.
So after this, arguably state-directed review, Shostakovich then decides not to release his Fourth Symphony.
Ultimately, right. Yes. But for several months, for 3 or 4 months, Shostakovich is continuing to rehearse his Fourth Symphony.
And I wanna listen to it. Let's take a listen to a part of it.
Sure.
So this is from the fifth movement of that Fourth Symphony. I wouldn't call this uplifting. audiences don't really walk away with this with arguably a real sense of hope. What do you hear in this piece?
Well,
or do you hear hope?
What one hears in music is the wonderful thing about music is that it is so powerful. And it can make you feel emotions you didn't know you had, but it's not semantic. It's not specific. It's not going to say, pick up the dry cleaning on Tuesday. So this music is clearly, you're absolutely right, it is not uplifting or triumphant or hopeful. It ends, this is near the end of the movement, and then it goes on to become even more dark and gloomy. It ends very quietly, and definitely the opposite of triumphant. When Shostakovich wrote his Fifth Symphony the next year, he intended it to be a kind of redemption, and he wanted to come back into favor. And he said to people, well, the ending is triumphant and joyful, and therefore people will like it. And what would it be like if you had a symphony that had a quiet ending that was not triumphant? And nobody knew of the Fourth Symphony, of course, because it hadn't been performed. But I think he was referring to that. There's also some debate as to whether the end of the Fifth Symphony is actually triumphant or if it's ironic and sardonic. So that's another story.
Okay, well, thank you so much. That's Anne Schreffler, historical musicologist and a professor of music at Harvard University. That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Maria Garcia. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.